Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Welcome back to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all vampire movies not covered by sons of bitches that are on the podcast with me now, who covered Fright Night, the Movie Minute Podcast. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Robin, and yes, I am one of the hosts of Fright Night Minute, and it does not mean that any other podcasts can cover Fright Night, but we did it a lot. We did the movie minute by minute, and then we covered all the sequels. We had Chris Sarandon on. We had Jonathan Stark on. It was a fun ride, and I got very excited as soon as I heard that there was a vampire movie minute, and you guys are going to be doing other awesome vampire movies. So,
FYI, one of the last people probably to interview Jonathan Stark, because I tried reaching out to have him on the show for House 2, not Fright Night, and he says he's not doing interviews anymore, but he'll still go to cons and charge us $60 for an autograph.
What is that about? Started cashing in.
No offense.
I can get a hold of him, though.
I mean, I talked to him at cons. He seemed very nice, but when I finally reached him on Facebook, he's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Just come see me at my table and buy an autograph. I'm like, oof. So, anyway, I just had somebody on from Generation X. Do you know that movie, the Fox movie?
No.
Yes.
I should know it because I am Generation X.
So, Generation X was a 1995 made-for-TV movie on the Fox Network starring a bunch of absolute nobodies that are now in a bunch of great, General Hospital. Like, the star who played Emma Frost, the White Queen, she has been on 1,700 episodes of General Hospital. But I had Jeremy Ratchman, who played Sean Cassidy, a.k.a. the Banshee, on my show, the Dead TV Podcast, because we covered it. Generation X is the first live-action X-Men movie 5 years before the Bryan Singer film would come out.
Oh, yeah, this is a TV movie. I think I saw this.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But, hey, you know what? She was hot as Emma Frost, and his accent as Banshee was whatever it was, so.
It was whatever, yeah.
Well, we begin these 5 minutes of this movie from Dusk Till Dawn. Nobody's ever going to do a Generation X podcast, unless they did it on the X-Men Movie by Minute podcast. That would be funny.
We challenge you today.
Yeah. But no, nobody should do Fright Night again, because you've already done it. It's like, I've seen people do multiple films, but the original seems to actually get to the end. The other was stalled out and never finished. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know I have had that problem, like, once when we did Lost Boys. We never did the credits. It took almost a year to do the credits for Lost Boys. COVID happened, and we did it. We did, like, every movie, like, right afterwards with no issue because we didn't have anywhere to go. So, but then, like, this last year, so I was really happy. Someone made a wiki of the Vampire Movie Minute podcast and said we are one of the top 25 vampire podcasts online. And I was like, oh, my God.
Well.
Thank you. By the way.
Congratulations.
Well, hold on. Fucking Christ. 12 of them are Buffy podcasts. Like, what the hell? Jeez, Buffy does not need that many podcasts. I digress.
Hey, I did an Angel podcast called Redemption Cast way back in the day.
There's a really good Angel Buffy podcast done by, like, a couple lesbians that are, like an actual married couple, and then a couple friends of theirs did it, and then they switched off of it because they felt as though there's not enough diversity on Angel, so they had a couple of other friends do it that are a little bit more diverse. I don't know what their ethnicities are, so I'm not going to try and question it. And it's just, it's a little political heavy sometimes with the, like, you know, let's make a point about politics and LGBT stuff every 5 minutes, but it's a decent podcast. So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it, it's a decent podcast. It just gets a little heavy handed with the message sometimes. So, but I listen to it. I subscribe. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Sometimes I can't listen to the politics every 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Right. I want some space from the real world. I'm here to talk vampires.
Yeah. Speaking of vampires. So we begin these 5 minutes with, Selma Hayek. And I have the movie in front of me. So it's like this scene where she just comes right in the view, breast out in the front. Looking fabulous, George Clooney being like, just at her foot because it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right, exactly, yes. The bare foot is out. It is not the first time we've seen bare feet and the ogling of bare feet, but yeah, this is another one.
Also, is she the dumbest woman alive and she can't see he's loading the gun up, or is it because she's not affected by bullets? She doesn't care.
I think that it's just that she is... that was one of my questions, too. Why is she letting him reload? There's supposed to be a different version of this. Did you read about this?
No. You're talking about, like, her snake scene, which I don't know if that's actually her or not. I mean, little rubber-necky snake kind of bit when she does morph into the snake from one scene to the other, and she says, welcome to slavery. Is that the scene you're talking about? And he's like, nope, sorry, I was married once. Two divorces.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah. Watch. I'm on my second, so, hey, I have nothing to hold against that. Yeah, in a draft of the script that I found online, just to look for character names, and I was like, hey, there's some differences.
Oh, wait. Okay, so is this the script that was published, by the way, as a book? I have that book.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. It was just one I found online, and it says right. that...
I think I have the shooting script.
He does shoot her, which then, because she poured liquor down her body and on her robe, I guess she's supposed to have like a real robe on as well.
Oh.
It all of a sudden that bursts up into flames, and that's how she dies. She's not afraid of the bullet. She just wasn't thinking that. I'm soaked in flammable fluid.
Oh, okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Yeah. She has the robe when she comes out on stage, and then she discards
it. Maybe they had her put it back on. I don't know.
Now, they never explain it in this movie, and I only ever saw Hangman's Daughter, or Texas Blood Money, which was the second one. Mm. I didn't see Hangman's Daughter. And I'm now doing a rewatch, well, sort of. I'm doing a watch of season 2 and 3, because I've seen season 1 of the TV show. And in the TV show, they're a cult of, like, snake-like vampires.
Mm.
So think of Lair the White Worm.
Right. Yeah, I just don't like these kind of vampires. I I think they're scarier when they have human features and they just have fangs and maybe some contacts.
Right.
But I just don't like this, like, I'm just put off by, like, all of a sudden the lovely and intimidating Selma Hayek is all of a sudden overlaid with a whole bunch of, like, snake,
attributes.
I guess makeup or, you know, I'm not sure if there's some CGI After Effects there. It just does not, I'm kind of like, oh, who's this? Rather than being like, oh, God. But
she's disposed of very quickly. I mean, Selma Hayek was not the star yet that she would become. This is like 2 years before Kevin Smith's Dogma as well, by the way, where she is a stripper and then that as well. But I think the only thing she had been in prior to this was probably Desperado. And,
one of my faves.
Yeah, great movie.
She's great in that.
She has a lead in that movie, but she's not huge yet. And I think it either came out the year before this or year after this. With Friendstar, the late, great Matthew Perry, Fools Rush In, which is one of my favorite romantic comedies of all time. I mean, it is, if you want to talk about a film that needs diversity, that doesn't need diversity, that is a great film. It's a white man, it's a Mexican woman who fall in love, they make a mistake, and they have to figure out what they're gonna do with this kid that both their opposite sides of their families don't enjoy. You know, the racism is not there to you to make it like a political stance movie. It's just kind of like he comes from a very rich white family. She comes from a very Mexican family. They both have their traditions.
Right.
And in the end, it works out for the both of them because they do end up getting married with that great Elvis song playing during the credits.
Right. Elvis was wrong, apparently. You know, Fools Rushing In is a good idea, too, at some point, especially if there's a baby on the line as well.
They have a one-night stand. She's pregnant.
She's pregnant. That's right. Okay. Yeah, we were talking about this before the show, but Selma on Instagram, really, she's 29 in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, she's 29, okay.
Now.
Okay.
She's 58 now, and she looks pretty much the same. You know, she looks a little older, but other than that, holy cow. And I actually got in trouble with my girlfriend because I liked the post. She's like, what are you liking that post for? I was like, please look at her. She's – good job. Just kind of like wiping the flop sweat away.
Yeah, she looks amazing in this movie. I mean, whatever she's doing obviously seems to work for her. I only know one person. I wouldn't say we're friends, but we're not enemies. We're just colleagues, and we kind of know each other. Joe Lynch worked with her in a movie. She's like a shut-in to a movie, to her apartment or something like that. But I only know like one of the person who actually worked with her, and he worked on Dogma. He was a grip on Dogma, so he got to work with her.
I have a couple of personal connections in the movie. Not really personal, but I was so in love with the scene we already saw. You guys already talked about with Selma coming out and dancing for
right.
the song from Tito and Tarantula,
right.
After Dark.
Yep.
I actually learned that on guitar because I was just like, I love that song. It's so good.
There's a nice still. I was looking up Selma Hayek on Instagram because I don't know if I follow her, but there's a nice still of her and Antonio Banderas from that movie. She's got the gun in
That's
her
right,
hand.
Yeah.
She's got the double
yes,
barrel gun
that.
In her hand. It's a really good scene.
And he looks like he's snarling or something.
We already went through like all the freaking extras that are in the background for the bar scene when they first come into the bar. It was just easier to do it that way because there's so many nameless
yeah.
people in the background that don't have a lot of credits to their name. But I do yeah. love the fact that Fred Williamson does get his big moment here as Harvey Keitel and George Clooney are about to try and, you know, beat in on this vampire with
the
pug face.
Man.
Yeah, the monkey man. Yeah, that's what he called him. I don't know if that's
yeah,
an offensive term. I don't know. I'm not gonna dissect like. What you should be calling people and not calling people in this movie, other than Quentin Tarantino's actions in this movie, his character's actions, by the way, just to clarify that. Other than the him being a rapist, disgusting rapist, I can overlook anything else. Do you know who played Quentin Tarantino's character in the TV show?
No, by the way, I never seen the TV show or the sequels. I was just always like, it doesn't seem to be from the same people. It's like I want to see. More of what I'm seeing here, but no, go ahead, tell me.
Well, George Clooney's character, by the way, I don't remember the actor who played him name, but Jake Busey played his brother Richie in the TV show.
Really?
Yeah.
So the Gecko Brothers go on?
Yeah.
Somehow?
No, I'm sorry. Jake Busey plays Tom Savini's character in the movie.
Oh, Sex Machine?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I completely screwed that up. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. He was so much older. No. I'm looking up the TV show right now. I recommend watching it. I think it was really decent for what they were trying to do in it. It was developed by Robert Rodriguez because of
right.
it was on his El Rey network.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Jesus, I'm choking it up.
It's so funny how, like, the Gecko Brothers just want to get to El Rey.
Right. So Jake Busey is Sex Machine in it, and Ayaza Gonzalez is Santiago Pantamonium, who's credited in, like, all 30 episodes of the show, but I'm like, I don't remember her being in all 30 episodes, but that's okay. DJ...
She's great, though.
Yeah, she's beautiful. DJ Cotarona is Seth Gecko, and Zane Holtz is Richie Gecko. DJ would play... Batman in the unmade he was cast in the unmade George Miller's Justice League movie.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And Richie is just kind of like one of those actors that is in a bunch of stuff. Nothing really overly stands out to me unless you watch like Riverdale or, you know, Hunter Killer or, you know, random TV
right.
shows and stuff like that. But I digress. Fred Williamson, I think this is like the only thing I really know him from besides the fact that he was in the original Inglourious Basterds.
Right. Yeah, I've never seen, you know, I haven't seen a lot of the like blaxploitation films that he was in. But I'm assuming, again, going back to that script I found, I'm assuming maybe they cast him late and decided to give him some good stuff because I don't know what draft it is, but a draft that I read had this moment be Sex Machine's moment. And Sex Machine apparently was supposed to be like huge. And instead of like this heart snatching thing that Fred Williamson does as Frost, Sex Machine like basically wrestles Big Emilio. And ends up, you know, killing him that way. I don't know, breaking his neck, or I'm not even sure. But he doesn't do anything like Frost does, which I don't know. It's great. It's almost like a Bruce Lee move. Yeah, he just kind of snatches that heart and he kind of stands there holding it, going, "Whoa," you know, like it's so quick he did it.
It's so funny that it's just killed with like a pencil. You know, you can be a vampire and survive with your heart outside of your body. Kind of reminds me of like, oh, a werewolf can be blown up and come back together, like in the Monster Squad.
Yeah.
And then we get the
pencil, by the way. But, no, sorry to interrupt you. The pencil, by the way, must be an homage to Fright Night. I'm just saying. Because Jerry gets stabbed through the hand with a pencil by when he's got Charlie up against his bedroom wall. That doesn't sound right.
Right. But, right. No, I remember the scene.
Yeah.
It's also funny that Harvey Keitel and George Clooney think they can just beat a vampire to death with sticks.
Yeah. They're not thinking.
The four of them have like a lineup with the four vampire strippers and like this kind of like just this, you know, super friends like running into each other. That bar must smell
really
horrible. You know, they got the one vampire who's got like the giant open stomach. You got a couple hottie vampires and then you got like this giant vampire woman too. But they all got these pug ugly faces. I'm wondering if like, this is like, I think a year, no, this would have been like a few months actually before, what do you call it? Buffy the Vampire Slayer would debut. So you can't say like, Josh Whedon watched this and said, hey, ugly vampires. No, because the reason why the vampires look like the way they do in Buffy is the network was like, we can't have some like pretty blonde girl running around stabbing people in the chest. Can't we make them look like monsters? And that's why the vampires on Buffy have the scrunchy faces, because network censorship was not going to allow it.
That's true. I gotta say, my boy Seth here is the coolest, in this fight. You know, he does the headbutt to the camera, and then, like, towards the end of the action, he does that huge, like, over his head staking, and then they just give him a little slow motion walk away moment as he's walking away from it. I used to love Seth, by the way. I mean, he does some pretty reprehensible things, like hold a family hostage. But my very first tattoo that I got when I was in my 20s, and actually the only tattoo I ever got, was kind of modeled on his whole sleeve up the neck design. It was just a band of those spiky, thorny, like solid black around my arm. And it's also got a little bit of a yin-yang in the middle for... You know, because I was young and, hey, that's a cool symbol. but I always meant to finish the sleeve, but it just ended up being one band. So maybe I'll send you a snapshot.
The band is the last remaining vampires that we can see for now. They've killed all the vampires in the bar. And then the band says, fuck you, everyone. Good night. And then they blow themselves up. It's like, what? I think in the TV show, they actually turn into bats and escape. So they can come back for another episode of a plotline. Every season of the show was like 10 episodes long, but
can you please explain the corpse guitar? I'm not sure if you've done this the past 5 minutes, but
we did earlier. There's no way to actually play that way. It looks just hideously disgusting for however they try to do it. I think they're also Harvey Keitel and his family are trying to get out, but obviously the place is barred. You know, they're not able to move it, and there's probably like thousands of bats outside. There's a bunch of vampires trying to get in.
Right. Yeah. That's gonna. But we have another awakening here at the end of this 5 minutes, right?
Yes.
The awakening of Richie.
Yes. Richie has been turned into a vampire, and he wakes up, and our 5 minutes end as he wakes up.
I love you too, Seth. The deep modulation. And then, of course, it sets up the... what you'll probably discuss in the next 5 minutes about how Seth is really mad when a sex machine decides to take out Richie.
Yeah, a little bit. Definitely. Mm-hmm. The next 5 minutes being minutes 70 to 75, and we will get to that in a couple weeks. When was the first time you saw this movie, by the way, Robin?
Oh, God, theaters. I think I was there probably opening night. If not, like a couple days later, I was there.
I saw it on rental because
so
I was too young.
For it.
I was too young to see this. I saw it on rental. I was too young for it to come out. But I was aware of the movie because of the advertisements, the trailers, and there was a comic book, too, which I am working on possibly having the artist from the comic book on my show. He was just here in Boston at a convention, and I completely missed him. And then when I found out that that's who it was, I was, like, kicking myself. So I reached out to the convention owners, and they put me in touch with them to see if he'll come on to talk about the From Dusk Till Dawn comic book.
Yeah, I'd really owe it to myself to check out the other media. It intrigues me that, you know, while you were talking about the first season of the TV series, that they basically do the movie again, but in more of an extended format. I'd be intrigued to see what that's all about.
Well, Robin, where can people find you? Are you still doing a podcast?
I am currently doing a podcast called Sword Boys, in which me and my friends Jonathan and Rick talk about movies with swords in them. Basically, we call them cuts. We cut the movie up into maybe like 6 to 8 parts, and we do, you know, just like you do here with the 5 minutes at a time, we kind of talk about it. We wanted to just talk about Highlander, and then we're like, oh, somebody's probably going to do a Highlander minute. Let's just make it a whole swords thing. So we've done Highlander. We've done Three Musketeers. We've done Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and we're about to do Kill Bill. So anything with a sword in it, we love talking about. We have a lot of fun. It's not a serious podcast at all. You can find that at swordboys.biz. And of course, you know, if you want to check out, some of the minute by minute format, podcasts I've done. My most recent one is the Karate Kid Minute, where I discuss all the Karate Kid movies in the franchise that I felt like discussing. Sorry, Jaden. And the Cobra Kai series. And, of course, what brought me here, what started our discussion, was the fact that I do I did Fright Night Minute. And that was a few years ago with my friend Len, and we talked about the Fright Night movie, and then we did all these bonus episodes about every single thing that had anything to do with Fright Night. So check those out. They're on the interwebs. I don't have web addresses at the ready.
Gotcha. You can find me over here in the Vampire Movie Minute podcast, where we've covered Vampire Hunter D, Lost Boys, From Dusk Till Dawn currently, and many others. And we'll be back in a couple weeks with another exciting episode of the Vampire Movie Minute podcast covering From Dusk Till Dawn.
All right. Thanks a lot.